Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. We are at the gamer's favorite number, episode 69.
Nice.
And we're going to be focusing on all things vertical. So we've had now a week of data from YouTube's Shorts revenue share, and there's quite a lot of details, and we get into the nitty-gritty in this episode about what that actually means, how you can meet the requirements, how the Shorts revenue share actually works, and the kind of RPMs and CPMs and monetary value that we're actually seeing in the data now that it's been out for a week.
Yeah, Pete, in addition to that, we're talking about Atom's new vertical plugin, which has been sweeping kind of the streamer space last week, which lets you create vertical content on the fly or stream from OBS 29. We talk about that and more, but before we do, we got to talk about how AI is continuing to shake up things in 2023 on Twitch. This week, I believe it started this week, Pete, there's a channel on Twitch, or there was a channel on Twitch, that has been streaming AI-generated episodes, quotes, of Seinfeld, which is kind of like a loose way to say it. If you watch it, obviously it's not the actual Seinfeld characters, but it's kind of this weird 3D-ish interpretation of Seinfeld with all the four main characters in the apartment, if you're familiar with Seinfeld, as well as Jerry or Larry's stand-up. But this is completely a 24/7 running stream where all the dialogue and all the movement and animation is all scripted by AI. So it's just constantly running, and you can tune in basically any time to see some random episode of whatever AI Seinfeld is. And it's just kind of fascinating. I think, Pete, they've pulled like 10,000 average viewers over the last week. It almost reminds me of like the Twitch Plays Pokemon kind of era, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say that you can tune in whenever you want, but actually that's not true as of right now, because I think last night for me in my time zone, maybe yesterday day for you, it got banned for 2 weeks. And we've seen this a few times, haven't we? We've seen these AI streamers or AI chatbots that you can sort of interact with. The main pull for a lot of people watching and interacting with these kind of things seems to be, how can we get this to say something racist or homophobic to get it banned? And that happened last night. So a 2 week suspension for a joke about transgender and mental illness. There are some screenshots from their like the devs that are running this 24/7 stream. They've made some posts about basically talking about why it made that joke, and you know, which language model it relied on, and they've made fixes to make sure it doesn't happen again, and hopefully Twitch will unban them. I just can't decide if things like this are actually here forever. Like, is this kind of thing going to be popular, 10,000 average viewers? I don't think so. I think it's because it's new and it's because it's a bit of a fad. People are tuning in and wanting to watch it. But, you know, surely once there are a few of these different streams, people aren't going to be flocking to watch 24/7 AI-generated Seinfeld episodes.
Yeah, it's tough to say, because I think this is exactly what I've been thinking about too. And that's why I kind of compared the Twitch Plays Pokemon, because that blew up for a little while and was really, you know, this whole cultural viral moment. And then it slowly fell off. And I think that is still going. Like, you can still watch Twitch Plays Pokemon, but it's, you know, a shadow of how big it was in the past. So this kind of reminds me of that. Now, the difference is that if AI gets really good and we see, you know, more realistic versions of Seinfeld or whatever other show people want to AI generate, then I think it could be interesting. And I think it really gets interesting when you can't tell the difference between an AI stream and everyone else's stream, which is a whole another can of worms that's not quite where we're at right now. But that's what's going to be really interesting to watch. Probably not this year either, but at some point in the future, that's going to happen, I think, Pete. So we'll have to see.
I mean, to describe this to any podcast listeners that haven't seen the screenshot that we shared, it looks a little bit like The Simpsons mixed with like a video game from 1995. Like it's you're certainly not watching a TV show, but I guess if you were a fan of Seinfeld and you know the characters, even though these have been renamed for probably copyright reasons, it's pretty entertaining to watch completely AI generated episodes. And from what I saw of Twitch chat, they're having a great time watching it and reacting to different moments and different jokes in the stand-up and things like that. But yeah, we'll see. On the topic of AI, that's not the only bit of AI news that we've had. We've also seen that the AI streamer that we've shared a couple of times, that seems to be like a VTuber model, but actually, you know, saying things and showing captions on stream, is now reacting to other content as well. So it's doing basically just chatting. The exact kind of streams that you see your favorite streamers do, where they react to clips on live stream fails or videos on YouTube. This AI streamer is now doing that. And the clip that's been shared by Jake Lucky, is her reacting, or the AI bot anyway, reacting to one of Forzan's streams and sort of talking about how he's playing the game. And just interesting to see like this meta evolving more and more to be like, now we've got an AI streamer watching a real streamer. So you as a viewer are watching an AI streamer watching a real streamer. Like, when does this become full circle and it's just AI viewers watching AI streamers watching AI streamers reacting to AI streamers or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's only February, Pete, and we talked about this at the top of the year, but I think this will continue through the rest of the year. So we'll have to kind of see if there are other weird AI streams that come out. I saw one as well this week. If you guys are familiar with Asmongold, somebody trained an AI to replicate him with his voice and his stories, and it was pretty much indistinguishable from his actual streams for that bit. So we might even see AI try to replicate streamers at some point. And there's just a lot of things that can happen here. So again, I think it's most interesting when you can't actually tell if someone is an AI streamer or not. Someone in chat teched out said, how we know this podcast episode isn't done by AI, Pete. So you never know. Maybe we pre-generate this whole thing with the script and we're going to get banned for some error down the line.
Well, I mean, the fact that we're reacting to his comment live, we're clearly a very advanced AI to be in comments live on stream. But yeah, it's a good point. But we have to keep following the story, really, won't we? We'll have to see where it ends up being. I still think it's a fad. I don't think there's going to be a worry of creators being taken over by AI any real time soon. I think people want the human connection. But whilst it's new, whilst it's unique, people want to see how it works, then they're generating a lot of viewership, aren't they? So yeah, we'll have to see. Let's move on to next story. Some updates on Twitter. I mean, we say updates on Twitter. This is really just like if you follow Elon Musk on Twitter and see what he's tweeting this week, we get an idea. But we've heard a few times from him that he wants to make Twitter a place for creators, not just a place, but the place for creators. And he wanted to bring some form of ad revenue share to the platform. I don't exactly know how it's going to work, but he kind of shared some details this week. This is one of his tweets from the last week saying, starting today, Twitter will share ad revenue with creators for ads that appear in their reply threads. So my understanding of this is if you write a tweet and then an ad shows in the reply to that tweet, you know, with other people's comments and your comments, then you will earn some money for the ads. But I mean, this is a classic Elon Musk tweet, really. There's been no details about this. You don't know. You know, you haven't put your payment information in anywhere. You don't know what currency you're getting paid in. You don't know, like, if it's available for everybody. They've said that you have to be Twitter Blue verified to be able to earn the money, but there's literally no details. Miguel has even sent some responses here. What do the ads look like here? CPM, do creators get more dollars if a user engages with a reply promoted tweet below? Where do we see if we're eligible? Where do we see how much money we're making? Like, none of this has been announced that I've seen anyway. I haven't seen any screenshots or anything like that. So to me, it sounds like Elon just promising the world and saying that it's already live, but I haven't seen any examples of anyone actually making money from this.
I actually went to look at my dashboard to see if I could find anything about monetization and, you know, getting ad share. I've definitely never accepted any sort of agreement the same way you do with Twitch or something or YouTube to get monetization. The only thing I can think of is, I guess they have Super Follows, Pete, which is like that subscription service. So maybe those people have access to that kind of revenue share. But this definitely seems like a very, very early tweet. And hopefully we'll see more actual details come out sometime soon. To your point, it's not the first time that Elon has tweeted something that is yet to actually have any details come out. So hopefully we'll see more of those, like the handle stuff. I'm definitely still waiting on my Twitter handle. So hopefully they'll get some info on that out soon if that really is happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's a prime example, isn't it? He said that they were going to be releasing millions of unused handles that people would be able to claim. Haven't seen anything about that. Just seemed like a empty promise that is probably still months away. Another tweet that he shared, just basically reiterating what I said earlier, Twitter needs to be where a creator is highly rewarded for their time and talent.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting to see. I mean, I don't think of Twitter as the place where creators go first and foremost right now. So no. I think it'll have a long time if they want to go to that point, especially YouTube. He mentions YouTube a lot, and I just don't really see Twitter competing with YouTube. I think even Mr. Beast has said it's not really set to do that right now currently.
Yeah, it just seems to me like it's one of those platforms that we concentrate on quite a lot because it does seem to have like a lot of important conversation between creators and streamers, but it doesn't seem to be any kind of monetization opportunity. In fact, the amount of brands that reach out that want to do sponsored content, even though my Twitter audience is like far more engaged and much larger than, say, my Instagram, they'll still want to work with me on Instagram rather than Twitter because I think it's just seen as like the monetization side of it doesn't exist on Twitter. Or maybe it's harder to track or something like that. One last update from Elon, and not a good one. For anyone that had the legacy blue verified checkmarks, that feature is going to be sunset in a few months. So it's basically going to be going away. So any people that you follow that have a legacy blue checkmark, they will need to start paying to be able to have the blue checkmark and all the benefits that come with it.
And importantly, they're all deeply corrupted, Pete. So they don't deserve it anyway, unfortunately.
That is true. That is true. Right. Do you want to jump into the little bit of Twitch news that we have this week?
Yes.
Just a couple of feature rollouts, I think.
Yeah, just a couple of quick ones. One of them we really already covered, I think, last week on here as kind of a rumor, and now it's confirmed. Twitch has confirmed that they're rolling out chat history to everyone. So as a reminder, this is when you come into a Twitch stream, you can see the last 50 messages is what they've said. Even if they were there before you joined. So it's a good way to kind of get caught up on what you missed in a stream prior to you joining. That's rolling out, and I think it's out to about 25% of users yet. So if you don't already have it, it should come out in the next 2 days, is what they've said. And then I also have, we talked about this too, I think last week or the week before, but there is a new view for discovery in the dashboard for Twitch. So this is a snapshot of my dashboard that I wanted to share really quickly. There's not a whole lot of data to share here, but it is kind of interesting to see they've actually rolled it out. You can see data on views from outside Twitch specifically, which in my case, there's not a whole lot to show here and it's all direct, so not very helpful. But I think the way that they showed this originally was you'll have a breakdown of like TikTok versus Twitter versus YouTube versus whatever driving to your Twitch. And you can also see some tags data in the bottom left on which tags you added to your channel are driving the most views versus impressions. So that was kind of interesting. And it's cool to see that you have this info. Some of you guys probably have more data than I actually do in this screenshot because I've not been streaming a ton lately, but I wanted to share it at least since we talked about it a lot, Pete.
Yeah, fingers crossed that when they eventually do release their sort of clip browsing discoverability part of their mobile app that we talked about last week. Was that last week? Yeah, I feel like it was last week. You'll be able to see plenty of views coming from whatever platform they decide to name that, because that to me seems like the golden nugget of how people will discover your stream if they make a good app of browsing clips and vertical gaming content. But I think that's it for Twitch content or Twitch updates this week. Is that right, Ben?
Yep, not a whole lot. I think there's much more on the YouTube side. So do you want to dive into the big update that we have this week, Pete?
Yeah, let's talk about it. So as we talked about last week and as we have been talking about through quite a lot of January, YouTube Shorts revenue sharing started on February the 1st. So we've almost had a full week of data now to look at. If you've signed up to the YouTube Shorts Creator Fund or the revenue share model, you have to be in the partner program already. But we now have some little bits of data to talk about. And the YouTube Creators YouTube channel actually released a video 5 days ago sort of talking about various different aspects of the YouTube partner program. We'll link that down in the show notes below for people listening to the podcast or watching the video once the live stream is finished. It's well worth watching that, but we will be covering some bits of the details from that video in this podcast to kind of break it down. So let's first of all talk about who is eligible to earn money from the YouTube Shorts revenue share, because this is quite a big deal. Like TikTok and Instagram Reels aren't doing this yet, so this is the first platform that's actually going to do some kind of revenue split rather than like a fund that doesn't really scale with creators. This is what has made YouTube the best platform for creating content. So hopefully they're doing the same thing with Shorts. So to qualify, and we've known this for a long time, you need to have both 1,000 subscribers and 10 million short views in the last 90 days. Sounds like an obscene number to me, but I'm not a Shorts creator. So 10 million Shorts views maybe is easy to hit if you're uploading 5 Shorts a day. Or the other way you can get into the partner program, which is the traditional method for long-form content, is 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours on long-form videos from the last 12 months. So those 4,000 watch hours have to be on long-form videos. Your Shorts views and I doubt they call them watch hours because every short is 60 seconds or less, don't contribute to that. So two different ways to qualify. Hopefully I'm making sense here, Ben. Stop me if you ever need to ask any questions, but I'm kind of looking at my notes through this. But those are the two ways that you can qualify for the shorts revenue sharing. Let me just move this on to make sure that we're on the right section. So the shorts that you use to be able to qualify, they must be original content or content that you have put a funny or thoughtful spin on that you didn't originally create. So it has to be transformative, kind of similar to the fair use policy. So it must be obvious to the audience that you have either created the video from scratch and it's completely original, or if you are using somebody else's clips, that you're transforming it in a way where you're adding your own take, you're adding your own spin. You're not just taking somebody else's stream highlights, uploading them to your channel and trying to make money from that through the YouTube partner program. Does that make sense, Ben?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't realize that about the creator piece of it, but it makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of React content or people using other people's content and making kind of compilation or clip channels. So I guess they're trying to combat that a little bit so that the revenue actually goes to the main creator and not people kind of ripping the content. So I think it's a good change. And I did want to say quickly on the first piece you talked about, I also think that 10 million shorts views is kind of crazy. Now, I have very limited testing with shorts and everything, but I think the biggest TikTok I've got was like 2 million and the biggest reel was about 250,000. YouTube, I've had like 32K, I think. So 10 million seems crazy. But again, maybe people are hitting, outside of gaming, there's bigger niches that hit that more consistently, or maybe just different types of games do differently. I'd be curious to hear from chat if you guys think that seems crazy or if you've had experience maybe getting to some really big some shorts, but continue with where you're going as well, Pete.
Yeah, and it's not just the 10 million, it's 10 million views in 90 days as well. So like the window that you have to hit 10 million views in is very short. It's hard for me to remember how difficult 4,000 watch hours on long form videos is. But the fact that you have a bigger window, you have 12 months to achieve that. That to me sounds more achievable. But again, I am not well versed in the short side of things. Like I haven't had any of like the 5 or 6 shorts that I've made, which is clearly not a big enough number, go anywhere near that kind of viral. So long form content has always been what has worked for me. But YouTube has all of the data. So they clearly are saying 10 million shorts views is the equivalent to 4,000 watch hours, and even with different sized windows. Anyway, we're getting lots of comments in chat, so you keep on top of that and I'll keep breaking this down. So how does the shorts revenue share work? Now, this is more complicated than it needs to be in my mind, but I've since watched a couple of interviews with people that have worked with the YouTube Shorts program to explain it, and I guess it is the best solution, but it's relatively complex. So there's kind of 4 steps to it. There is the Shorts feed ad revenue is pooled. So what that means is each month, all of the ad revenue that is generated from Shorts is pooled together into one big pool. From that, they then make a creator pool. So that is a portion of the overall pool. And then some of it is just made into the creator pool and some is given to any music licensing that they need to do. So if you upload a short that doesn't use any music, then all of the revenue that short could have made goes into the creator pool. But if you use a short that has a single song in, the revenue is split 50-50. And if you use a short that has 2 songs in, then the revenue is split 33-66. And this isn't revenue to you, remember. This is revenue going into the creator pool, which later gets diluted even further. So let's summarize how far we are so far. Shorts ad revenue is pooled, and then a creator pool is calculated based on how many of the shorts in the whole pool have used music and haven't used music. Step 3 after that, the creator pool is then allocated to creators. So each country will have a different creator pool because it's different currency and different advertisers. And then that amount of money is then allocated to creators based on their share of the total shorts views. So the example that they use in the video, which is obviously ridiculous, but let's say that you, Ben, with your shorts upload, contributed to 5% of all of the shorts viewership in America, which would be an obscene number. But then your portion of the creator pool would effectively be 5%. The final stage is then the shorts revenue share is applied. That then means that you split the money with YouTube. So you take home 45% of your creator pool section. They take home 55%. It doesn't matter if you've used music or not in your shorts. They don't want to discourage people using music. So that's all calculated into the creator pool. And then you're individual amount. So it sounds like it starts as a huge circle and it just gets smaller and smaller until you eventually take home your little, you know, $5 check at the very end. I've tried my best to explain it. The YouTube video may well have done a better job, but ask me some questions and maybe I can help clarify a bit more about that, Ben.
Yeah. So a couple things. First of all, it's really interesting to hear that they are not necessarily discouraging the use of music, because I thought that'd be one thing for sure. You'd have to not use copyright music. I think even TikTok makes you confirm that you don't own, or you own or don't own rights to music when you're uploading now, like with a manual verify. So it's cool to hear that you can still use music. It would just be a less revenue coming to you, essentially, or I guess going to the pool, right? Not necessarily to you, just less going to the overall fund. So that part is cool. One thing I don't understand fully is I thought that I heard them talking about different CPMs too, because that's a big thing on YouTube traditionally, right? Is you'll have different monetization rates per different channel types. So I wasn't clear if that affects shorts or not. Did they mention that at all in the video?
Yeah, they don't actually in the video, but in an interview that we'll talk about in a second, they do get into that. So firstly, let's talk about a couple of data points that I have. So looking at the shorts that I do have on my channel, it seems that the RPM, which is the revenue per mil or revenue per 1,000 views, seems to be around 5 cents to $1. And that seems to be pretty consistent across the people that I've spoken to. But actually, if my understanding is right, there aren't any individualized CPMs, RPMs. It's just used from the pool and then possibly dependent on the country that you live in. So I actually don't think CPM and RPM are going to be different as long as you're creating in the same country as somebody else. It should be the exact same amount. It's just the amount of views that you have contributed in your country in, let's say, a month to the pool is how much you then take home. Well, you then split that with YouTube, but that's your portion of the pie, so to speak. So the CPM or RPM should actually be the same, if my understanding is correct. So yeah, it's a good question. And I kind of followed the same train of thought. The other thing that you mentioned, the music side of things, like that kind of confused me when I first started thinking about it, because certainly for me and anyone that's created content on YouTube or even people that really care about DMCA on Twitch have always had the mindset of don't use any content that you don't own the rights to use. YouTube doesn't want to discourage people from using music in their shorts because they know how big of a reason that was that TikTok became successful. Like TikTok was originally Musical.ly and then they bought that app and then changed it into TikTok, and like the music part of it is massive. So they clearly have made some deals with the music record labels and they don't want to discourage people from using music. So there's actually no difference to if I create a short without music or I buy the rights to use certain music and you use a top five hit, we will take home the same amount if our shorts pull in the same number of views from the whole pool, because they don't want to discourage it. If it was two different amounts, then more and more people would start using, you know, copyright free music or buying licenses for music, and then YouTube thinks that wouldn't be as good of an experience as if you were using the main hits and doing sort of dance alongs and things like that. So I think that's the reason why, and it kind of does make sense, but it does feel a bit unfair if you're, you know, one of the people that's contributing more money to the creator pool because you're not using music, but then you don't actually take home any more money than the people that do use music.
Yeah, that's the weird part. It's almost like if you just want to have the best for yourself, then you should just use any music you want, because then you have the best music to use, but you don't have any downside since you get the full amount. Like, I feel like almost like if you use that type of music, you should take the penalty, right, for that revenue cut. But I get what you're saying too, that they don't want to discourage that stuff. So it's kind of tricky. I feel like it might just lead to a smaller pool overall because everyone just wants to use popular music and not the copyright-free stuff. There's basically no reason to use copyright-free stuff because you're only hurting yourself theoretically in that way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the same way that I feel. I feel like it does feel unfair, but at the same time, from YouTube's point of view, they want this to be as successful as possible. And the more success means more advertisers come on board, the CPM or RPM rates go up for everybody, people earn more money. So they just want what's best for the platform, and they think that encouraging people to use music is great for the platform. And it's probably going to encourage, you know, like big music pop stars to also create shorts with their music. So maybe that's a side of it as well that we hadn't thought about. If you want to learn way more about this, then the excellent Colin and Samir have a new YouTube channel for their podcast, which is called Creator Support. And their latest video that they uploaded 3 days ago at the time of recording, they talk to two YouTube employees who are like two of the most important people that are in charge of YouTube Shorts and this whole monetization. They asked them tons of questions. I haven't finished it. I didn't have a chance to finish it before we went live today, but there's loads of great info in there about their decisions on all these different aspects. So I would heavily recommend checking that out. Again, we'll link to it in the show notes and all those kind of things. But if you haven't got any other questions about it, Ben, then shall we move on to talking about the new Atom update?
Did we talk about the actual, well, you talk about RPM, right? Like how much money people are making off Shorts realistically? I mean, have you seen any info come out on that yet?
Yeah, I mean, we can quickly cover. So I covered that it was like 5 cents to, 5 cents to 10 cents per 1,000 views was what the number that I was seeing after asking a few different people. But if you want to calculate that forward and actually what does that mean? If you got a short with 1 million views, that means that short would earn between $50 and $100 at the time that we're recording this. Or if you had a channel that got 100 million views per month on Shorts, that would equate to $5,000 to $10,000. So, I mean, not impressive numbers at the moment. But I believe that this is going to be one of those things where it starts slow, kind of like the YouTube Partner Program did originally, and grows over time. Because what nobody knows right now is it going to be a platform worth advertising on for advertisers? If it is, then more and more advertisers are going to get on board and start to raise the rate that you're having to pay to have an ad on the platform. So those rates are going to increase for us as creators as well. So it's very early days. I realize it sounds super disappointing when you're talking about 1 million views short getting $50 or $100. But these rates should go up over time if it's a successful platform. And I trust the brains at YouTube who have managed to create what I think is the best monetization strategy for creators or platform for creators. I reckon they're on target to do it again with Shorts, but it is disappointing at the moment. And there's a lot of headlines and tweets that I've seen of people being disappointed with how low the RPM appears to be. But it's early days, so
yeah,
we'll have to see.
To be clear, I think it's still the best vertical monetization stuff here. Like TikTok is, you know, they may have lots of views on TikTok, but the creator fund system just doesn't scale very well compared to this model. So to your point, hopefully there's already more money to be made on YouTube theoretically than TikTok, and it will only get better if the ad system improves. So
yeah, maybe I'll just explain why I think why those creator funds programs like the one on TikTok don't scale is because let's say they have I can't remember what the TikTok figure is. Let's say it's $1 million. The more popular TikTok becomes, the more people creating on it, the more people viewing the ads on that platform, the less money you're actually earning because the creator fund isn't increasing past 1 million. It's like a capped limit. And then if it's getting more popular, then you're getting a smaller portion of that $1 million. Whereas YouTube's ad revenue share is literally a revenue share. So as the platform grows, as advertisers start to spend more money, as more advertisers come on board, that revenue is shared with you. So that's why it's better, hopefully, just to clear things up.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I think it's a big deal this launch, because it theoretically, if you just want to make vertical content, this could be a game changer for you. And if you do pull really big numbers, then this could be a really big boost to you theoretically for the top vertical creators who don't do, you know, traditional long form or streaming kind of thing. So I think that can't really be understated if that is what you've been doing and you want more ways to monetize. But speaking of vertical, maybe we should jump into Atom as well here, Pete.
Yeah, let's do it. Pretty big update actually this week. This is a really exciting one, like something that I think people have kind of wanted but not known how it would look if a solution was built. But effectively, if you don't follow some of the big channels, like Harris Heller talked about this, I think he's an investor in the company now as well. But Atom, which is kind of like a streamer bot style software, a piece of software that allows you to control various different aspects of your stream or have channel points or subscriptions or any kind of integration controlling different aspects of your stream, really the possibilities are endless. They have released a new plugin called Atom Vertical, which I'll actually share my screen here and sort of show their promo video because I think it's got some footage in it. It effectively allows you to turn OBS into two separate preview windows or two separate canvases. Your usual 16:9, which you can use to stream to Twitch or YouTube or record videos or however you use OBS normally. And then also a vertical section, which allows you to stream or record your vertical content. So it actually opens up two new source and scene windows where you can actually arrange your sources and scenes. So you can completely build your vertical scenes however you want. They can be as different as you want to your 16 by 9 scenes. And then you can actually link them together. So when you swap scene on your 16 by 9, it will swap it also on your vertical video. So the idea behind this and why it's so clever is for people that want to be streaming to, let's say, Twitch or YouTube, and also streaming to TikTok or Instagram Live, which Twitch now allows you to do, you can effectively do that using this plugin, as long as you have, you know, the access to stream to TikTok, which is pretty difficult to get at the moment. But there's also an extra side of this where you can sort of use a replay buffer style feature of the vertical side of things. So let's just say you're streaming, all you're doing is streaming to Twitch just like you normally would, but you do have the vertical side of things set up as you wish to. If something happens on your stream that you find funny, you can press a button and it can save the last 20 seconds, last minute, last 5 minutes of your stream, but the vertical version of it. And then that's super easy for you to then post to TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. So really, really smart plugin. And they've thought about a lot of things right out the gate for release, like linking the two scenes. I think that's super smart. So it means you don't have to, you know, constantly be thinking about switching two scenes or build your stream deck to be, you know, building a multi-action to switch two scenes at the same time. Ben, have you tried this yet? I feel like I've been talking a lot over the last minute. Have you tried this yet? What are your thoughts? You know,
yes.
Tell me about it.
This was the thing that finally made me install OBS 29 because I had just tried this plugin. It's very, very cool. And I think there's a lot of cool things about it. I think my thing I'm most excited for is definitely the ability to just stream on vertical platforms like TikTok, especially. To your point, it's kind of hard to get the stream key on TikTok, which I believe you have to get 1,000 followers on there first. But I do think that if you're able to stream on TikTok, that's an amazing way to grow right now. And it's just been really hard to figure out how to stream to Twitch and to Instagram or TikTok at the same time on one instance. So this makes it super easy all in one browser. That part's really cool. I love also that you can change the actual scene for the vertical to be different than what's on your main, you know, your Twitch feed. So if you just want to have the gameplay or you want to have a smaller face cam or something, you can customize that. So it's not just, you know, cropping awkwardly from your main scenes. There's a lot of customization for it and I'm still kind of testing it, but I'm more motivated now to get the stream key for TikTok because I really want to try out the multi-stream. So that's my current focus. And shout out to Exceldro in the chat, by the way, for being here.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Helping
the,
out on that.
The hero Exceldro, who's often watching the podcast live, has been one of the main contributors to the dev work for this. And some people already getting answers on questions on chat, such as, can we use the same transition at the same time in horizontal and vertical? And Exceldro says, right now it's only fade transitions for the vertical side of things. So I'm sure there's a whole list of features that they want to roll out as the plugin grows in use and more feature requests come out. But even in its state right now, I think it's worth installing and experimenting with. Because at the end of the day, I think everybody that wants to use streaming to, you know, generate an income or have as a side hustle or become, you know, a full-time creator through, they need to be concentrating on vertical platforms, whether that's live streaming to them or it's creating these short form clips. This plugin makes it probably 10 times easier than it has been for a lot of creators previously. You know, a lot of people don't have the experience or don't have the time to be able to edit together, you know, these vertical form clips. And there's been, you know, several different websites like Streamladder that we've talked about in the past where you can sort of turn your Twitch clips into vertical video formats. But you have to show it where your webcam is and edit it together and then export it and all these kind of things. The fact that this is now just built straight into OBS, and yes, there is a little bit of extra work that your PC is doing to encode two things at the same time if you are streaming or recording at the same time rather than just using, you know, one or the other. But it's still well worth it, I think, to save yourself the time at the end of the day of having to generate these vertical clips yourself. So you can just make them as you go. And I think it's a really, really, really clever idea. And I've seen a lot of positive responses around it so far. So I'm excited to try it out more myself. It does require, like you said, the latest version of OBS. But going forward from OBS version 29, I think is what we're at now, it will be supporting, you know, versions from this point onwards. But you do need to be up to date to start using it today. So yeah, really excited to try this out. I mean, Ben, you're the one that's going viral on TikTok with all your League of Legends clips. So you need to get this installed ASAP, I would say.
I know, I'm trying. I mean, so one thing I want to say about this too is it gives you a lot of control over how you export if you want to make clips vertical. I've had a lot of good success with just literally just ripping a clip from my stream and posting it on TikTok and YouTube and stuff without any additional editing. So I can use this as is and just push it out right to TikTok. I don't know if you want to edit more. You have the option to do that. What's nice is you get like the source file itself instead of like a Twitch clip or something that Streamlabs takes. So you get the real raw file for it and you can customize it if you want to have different movement around. I guess you could set that up with, you know, a Stream Deck or something like that too, to take out some of the editing from afterwards. So it's a lot of control, but it does make me very excited. And I've already posted more vertical stuff, even today, Pete, honestly, just after having tested this. So it makes it really easy to just get more of that stuff. Because I feel like with vertical, quantity is more important than quality in a way. I could be wrong about that, but that so far that's what I've seen. And this really helps you kind of get to that quantity level.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true. I think nobody is going to your channel page and like looking through your last 9 TikToks, or at least that's my presumption. Whereas some people might do that with long form video. I think it's 100% about just quantity and just trying to find a formula and a style that works. You know, you look at some of the things that have really blown up, like the sort of man on the street interviewing people. How much do you pay on Brent? He's been creating content for years until he stumbled across that formula, found that it worked, and then has now replicated that to the point where it's his full-time job and makes a lot of money. I think, again, Colin Samir have an interview with him that I listened to recently. So it seems to me like you should be just trying lots of different things, and short form is the perfect platform to be testing that kind of stuff on.
Yeah, fully agree. So if you've not already tested out, I would definitely check it out because it's available for $29 and it's free. And I think they've had like 20,000 downloads already, Pete, which is pretty cool. So make sure we jump on that train if you're looking into vertical, which I think if we have time, I'd like to get through a listener question here. This is one thing that I always need to do. Yeah. And we always kind of go for way too long. So this one was from last week's episode, actually, on the YouTube video. So reminder, you can always watch these after the fact on YouTube if you miss it. It was from Random Hero, who asked, I would love to hear about multi-platform streaming solutions. So Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. If someone were coming in fresh and new to streaming, what would be the pros and cons of going down this approach instead of choosing just one platform? So I thought this was pretty interesting, Pete. We talk a lot about multi-platform stuff and obviously all the platform updates. Well, you want to start this one off with your thoughts on multi-streaming for a new streamer versus just picking one place?
Yeah, I think there's two schools of thought here. There's the school of thought of, you know, you can try and find a platform this way that maybe generates the highest viewership that you can then concentrate on. And then there's the other school of thought of you're never going to grow if you're concentrating on so many different platforms and you're consolidating chat all together and, you know, your community isn't interacting with each other because they're all on different platforms. I think realistically, I think it would be better off you thinking about what kind of platform your content does best on. What platform do you consume the most of that kind of content on already? So for example, if it's gaming related, Twitch does seem to be like the primary platform for live content around gaming, although YouTube has definitely made strides there. And then you've got, you know, Facebook and TikTok and places like that. They're certainly starting to become more accepted as multi-stream platforms, with Twitch allowing, you know, Instagram and TikTok to be stream to vertically at the same time. So you can certainly experiment with those kind of things. But I wouldn't worry so much about trying to find the right platform as much as trying to get the reps in to become a good streamer, no matter which platform you're on. We've seen that the numbers between Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, you can be a successful streamer on any of those platforms. But if you love watching content on Twitch the whole time, and you literally would have to create a Facebook account to start streaming on Facebook, then I think your heart probably lies with streaming to Twitch because that's the platform that you watch and you want to emulate success on. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. Like, go for the thing that you already understand and love the platform. If you have that, I think that makes perfect sense. And by and large, I still think that it's the most straightforward to pick one platform, because for a lot of people, even figuring out how to multi-stream and do all that is kind of overwhelming and maybe too much to worry about. And there are some negatives to it, especially if you build up an initial base of trying to merge chats together and something happens on this one platform, then you have to explain it to other people on this other platform. Although I do think there's some benefits. Like, I think if I were starting out for the very first time, I'd probably multi-stream if I could do it kind of easily, because I do think that getting like the first few people into your chat to talk with is like an important thing to kind of get you into streaming. If you just, you know, you say you pick Twitch and you never get anybody coming to your stream the first week or something, it's pretty unmotivating to keep trying to stream. Versus if you multi-stream and maybe you have like one or two people come in on one of the platforms, you just have a better chance of that happening. And then from there, you could pick one platform if that one works really well or you like it. But I think like having the small win of having somebody come in, you're more open to that if you multi-stream when you start. So for me, that's what I would do personally, just to kind of get you used to it and a little more of the dopamine feedback.
I think that's a great answer. I think hopefully Random Hero is staying subscribed to the channel and will have either seen your answer today live in chat, or maybe he watches all the VODs or she watches all the VODs, and we'll see it afterwards. We'll have to make sure we tag them and give them a timestamp. I think that's probably going to do it for tonight. There's a lot of discussion obviously around these new vertical incentives in terms of ad revenue shares, and as well as the Atom vertical video plugin. So I'm really keen to hear some of your guys' thoughts. So if you're watching this after the fact in the VOD format, leave us a comment down below. Or if you're listening to the podcast version and you've reached this point, send me or Ben a tweet or an Instagram DM, or write in one of our Discords and just tag us and let us know your thoughts on vertical video. You know, are the RPMs so low that it's not worth doing? You need a million views to even earn $50 to $100, or are you excited to see where it grows to in the future? Like, I think both responses are valid, and I've definitely seen YouTubers with both of those two responses. So it'll be interesting to see from this point onwards where they go. Thanks as always for listening along live. We had loads of chat tonight, and Exceldro being in there answering loads of questions about the Atom vertical plugin, doing absolute God's work both in the dev side of things as well as moderating our chat for us. So yeah, really appreciate that, and we'll catch you next week with more streaming news and updates. Peace.
See ya.